going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Rally Check, with a random, hey, let's talk about these things podcast. You guys know me, I'm not very much of a news podcast. I don't have sources, I'm not a journalist, I don't pretend to be a journalist. I give you guys my opinion, and oh boy, do I give you guys a lot of my opinion. But when a couple of things come across, and this particular time, most of these are coming from NoDQ, Aaron Rift, and the other people at NoDQ, so credit to them. And I just think they're not really full stories. They're just enough to talk about because they're interesting. So we're going to talk about Tama Tonga, we're going to talk about Drew McIntyre, and we're going to talk about new and different plans for TNA. Now, obviously, because we're talking about TNA, let's keep in mind all the people that are working in TNA right now post the Scott D'Amore exit. Let's just hope everybody's doing okay over there. Hope Scott D'Amore is doing okay. And we, I'll leave that for last because I think there's the most to talk about there. But Tama Tonga, somebody who I know hardly anything about. If I was completely honest, I would know Tama Tonga from the rivalry that him and his family had with the guys at What Culture, which was kind of fun. I think I've seen maybe two or three of their matches, and they were tag team matches, and they were out of context, so I couldn't even tell you who they were facing against. But I know, or I heard anyways, that he was leaving New Japan, and people want him, and he's coming to the States, and is he going to go to AEW, is he going to go to WWE? There is, I will be honest with you, there is that part of me that's like, alright, they got Will Ospreay, and I really wanted Will Ospreay to come to WWE. There's a lot of people in WWE that I would have liked to see him go up against, top of that list being guys like Finn Balor, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Ricochet, I don't even know who else, like Will Ospreay, Damian Priest would be a lot of fun. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. I mean, flip the coin and have the wrestler versus superstar thing going on. You could have Will Ospreay versus Roman Reigns, for an example. But I don't know much about him other than, selfishly, I'm a WWE guy and I wanted WWE to score a point. But as I say, my introduction to him is kind of weird. My introduction to him is I'm a fan of the guys that, well, most of the guys at What Culture. You know who you are and you know who I'm talking about. But he had a rivalry with them. They went to the Bullet Club block party and they got almost choked out by Haku, which is a great story if you go check out What Culture. But that's it. That's my entry point. I'm not a New Japan guy wherever else he's wrestled. Has he ever been on AEW? I don't know. But it seems like his path is sort of WWE confirmed. WWE sources, again, reading from Aaron Rift on NoDQ. WWE sources confirm to Dave Meltzer of F4W Online that, oh my god, I'm going to butcher this, Aliopate Aloisio Leone, better known as Tama Tonga, thank God. I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to butcher somebody's name. That's not cool. Is headed to WWE after spending nearly 14 years in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's believed that Tonga finished up this past Saturday's event. Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select added, Fightful Select has been told that the Observer's report about Tama Tonga is accurate. He's expected to go to WWE. Apparently, in early 2023, WWE reportedly expressed interest in signing New Japan star Tama Tonga, as well as his brother, I believe it's pronounced Hikuleo? Somebody correct me down in the box below. Tama Tonga ended up staying in New Japan for one additional year. Now, I don't know much about the ROH, the New Japan, the Bullet Club stuff, but I do know that he was in the Bullet Club, and I know that the Good Brothers were in the Bullet Club. And the Good Brothers right now have just gone down to NXT for a bit. And I'm going to be watching NXT as soon as I'm done recording this. So, I mean, there's a tug of war between AEW and WWE. How funny would it be if he ended up in NXT? That's all I'm going to say. I'm sure people that are not necessarily WWE-centric would be real in their feelings about it. But if you're going to have it that the fallout between AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson and Meechin, Mia Yim, was so drastic that they went and ended up in NXT for a while. Maybe they start another... Because remember, They were the Balor Club for a while. It was Balor, Gallows, and Anderson, and then it was Styles, Gallows, and Anderson. Then it was Styles, Gallows, Anderson, and Meechin. So now, maybe Tama Tonga, Gallows, and Anderson, and NXT. Maybe we get NXT Trios titles. But now I'm just pontificating, and this is just speculation that people have had on Twitter. But it's interesting. It's always interesting for me, and I've always said this. Take the AEW stuff out of the equation. Take the Bullet Club stuff out of the equation. Take the New Japan ROH stuff out of the equation. Take the weird introduction that I got through What Culture out of the equation. It is always good to hear a name out there in the... Zack Sabre Jr. was the most recent one for me. To have this name that you've heard about forever, it's so established in your brain that you feel like you already know who they are, and then see them for the first time. So if Tama Tonga shows up at, Stand and Deliver, while the guys are getting a tag team title shot, maybe against the Family, maybe against the Wolf Dogs, and they need a third, and it's Tama Tonga. Technically Stand and Deliver happens before WrestleMania, so Tama Tonga is NXT would be a hell of a way to kick off WrestleMania weekend, would it not? I just think it's kind of cool. This big deal. This is sort of hand in hand with the, at one point they were trying to get Ospreay. At one point we heard we were getting Sasha Banks back. Oh no, we didn't get Sasha Banks back. Let me see if I can squeeze out a tear. What was the other one? We thought we were going to get Okada. I talked about that when that was a rumor, and then Okada seems to be going in another direction, which is also fine. So I'm interested, very, very interested. I always use the example of when Ember Moon debuted in NXT, and I talked to my former co-host, Senor Guapo, and I said, what's up with this girl, Ember Moon? At that point, I knew her indie name, which had been Athena, and his response to me was, she's a badass, she does a stunner from the top rope, it's awesome. Cool, that's all I need to know, let me see something. Now, I've heard all kinds of things about Tama Tonga and Bullet Club stuff and all that kind of thing, so give me little bits and bobs. Throw it down in the comment section below or on X at Spaz Phoenix. Tell me what I should look forward to from Tama Tonga if Tama Tonga shows up in WWE, let alone NXT. Now, switching from new imports to somebody that we hope isn't an export, yes, I'm a warehouse guy, go figure. The hot topic in WWE is, are they going to lose Drew McIntyre? He hasn't re-signed. Backstage news regarding Drew McIntyre following the Elimination Chamber victory this past weekend. Again, Aaron Riff, No DQ, is where I'm getting this from again, so kudos once again to them. As seen during the 2024 WWE Elimination Chamber PLE, Drew McIntyre was victorious in the Men's Elimination Chamber and will challenge Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 40. Previously reported that McIntyre's WWE contract is still set to expire shortly after the WrestleMania 40 PLE. PW Insider was told by WWE sources that nothing has changed regarding McIntyre's contractual status with the company. Now, if you're all over Twitter, it's a 50-50 between nobody's said anything and he's definitely back. So nobody's saying he's definitely leaving. So take that for what it's worth. Both sides are reportedly working together on the assumption that a new deal will be reached, but it said that nothing has been signed as of today, Tuesday, February 27th. It's also worth noting by PW Insider that McIntyre's comment on Monday Night Raw about suffering a ruptured eardrum in the Elimination Chamber on Saturday was 100% legitimate. That's terrifying. You start fucking with your ears, you go deaf, you lose your balance, let alone being able to perform. You don't function normally as a person. So before we get into any of this, let's just hope he's all right. Hope he's all good to continue his story with Seth Rollins and everybody else. The health and safety has to come before any of this. But I mean, if I'm looking at this, and if I'm making a guess, he's signed and he's back and they're just not telling anybody yet. They're going to make up their own version of the All Elite graphic. It's just going to be, Drew McIntyre is WWE, just like, Tama Tonga is NXT, which would be absolutely fucking hilarious. But the signs are all there. Like, he's going to WrestleMania to fight Seth Rollins, who we know is still dealing with injuries. Seth Rollins, whoever Seth Rollins faced at WrestleMania, this is me speculating now. This is no longer me reading the news. Seth Rollins is carrying around a lot of injuries, and he's not really making any bones about the fact that he's a bit rough. He's going to WrestleMania to drop that title. He brought that title to existence when Triple H debuted it. It is a gorgeous belt. I don't care. Argue with the wall. He made it what it is, and he got it to WrestleMania. He's going to hand it off to somebody. They're not going to give him the world title and have him be the main guy on Raw. Now, people are saying that, oh, when Cody wins the WWE title, he's going to bring it to Raw, so the world title is going to go to SmackDown. Either way, the logistics of that aside, you're not going to give him the biggest stage, make him the biggest guy on one of the shows, if you don't even know if he's sticking around. You're not going to give him that belt. You're not going to give him that belt to hold for 2 months and then fuck off. You're not going to give him the opportunity to pull a Medusa and show up on Dynamite and drop the brand new WWE World title in the fucking bin, which somebody like Tony Khan would probably want him to do. Tony Khan's not spiteful at all. At all. But they're not going to do that. But back it up one step from that. Whether or not he was going to win, why would you put somebody in this spot if they were leaving? Now, I understand that there's other options available to you. It was probably supposed to be Cody Rhodes, and then people cried about it. It was probably supposed to be CM Punk, and then he got injured, and weird people celebrated that, which is also not great. So he's probably maybe not the first choice, but even as a pinch hitter. And I don't want to refer to Drew McIntyre as a pinch hitter. I think the guy's great. I think he's doing some of the best work of his WWE career, because that's what I can speak to. I'll be very careful with what I say. So I don't like referring to him as a pinch hitter, but there's at least two other people that would have been more interesting matches at WrestleMania. I don't think you give him that spotlight. I don't think you give him this much character development and build and a big moment in a big, huge international stadium show to get him then to WrestleMania, let alone win the title and carry a brand, if you don't even know if he's sticking around. But also, you don't lay down the groundwork for somebody that you don't think is sticking around. Now, having a match with Seth Rollins is awesome. Rollins is going to make him look like $1 million. Much like I think Becky's going to do for Rhea Ripley, but that's another conversation for another time as well. I hope, honestly, Becky Lynch is going to go into WrestleMania and make Rhea Ripley look like $1 million. Rhea Ripley's going to continue. Seth's going to go in there and make Drew look like $1 million. He's going to carry on with the belt where Seth Rollins left off. I hope Seth Rollins takes a couple months off, gets himself right again, and I hope Becky Lynch gets that same time to go be with him, be with their kid, and just not for a while. Because again, the Liv Morgan shit. I'm a big Liv Morgan fan, but some of you out there are being really weird to Becky Lynch right now. All that being said, I don't think you lay that all at the feet of Drew McIntyre if he's not hanging around. Now, the further step from that is, I don't think you lay the path out, as I say a second ago, I don't think you lay the path out forward for him. Because his path after picking up that championship is, he's probably going to have a challenge from some, I would say Cody Rhodes, but he'll be busy somewhere else. You're probably going to have a rematch before Seth Rollins fucks off. You're probably going to have Jay step up to him for the title. You're probably going to have Sammy step up to him for the title. Maybe Kevin Owens makes his way back onto whatever brand he's on and he gets a shot. But the long-term thing that they're setting up right now, and it's an injury, so you never know how long it's going to be. His long-term feud for that belt is CM Punk. CM Punk's going to be out for 9 months, apparently. So not only are you planning on paying that off and you don't exactly know when it's going to be, but you're also putting him in there with CM Punk. And I don't care what you think of CM Punk. Whatever CM Punk is doing, people are talking about it. And whoever's doing it with him, That sounded dodgy, sorry. But whatever, whoever's doing whatever with CM Punk at the time is going to be talked about. CM Punk has a way of making whatever he's doing the most important thing in whatever company he's in. The prime example of that is what he did for MJF and his feud with MJF in AEW. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else Sean like that did. And he will come back, and he will do that for Drew McIntyre. They wouldn't be booking him to do all these CM Punk digs. They wouldn't be laying out a trail of competitors that realistically he's going to mow through until CM Punk comes back. CM Punk comes at SummerSlam, so between WrestleMania and SummerSlam, you mow down Jay, you mow down Sammy, you mow down KO. Which is really, really unfortunate because Jay and Sammy and KO all need to be in more prominent spots. In my personal opinion, you gotta get Finn Balor or Damian Priest back in the mix, because even though they're both heels, Damian Priest and the Money in the Bank briefcase and fucking with Drew McIntyre is another story that they have to pay off. And I think if they pay that off at WrestleMania, people are going to be upset. There is so much left for him to do, and WWE are providing him fictionally with so much to do, let alone the stock that they're putting in him by giving him a title and having him carry a brand in the first place and capping it off with a CM Punk feud. There's no way he's going anywhere. I think if WWE are laying all this at his feet, not knowing whether he's sticking around or not, I think they're dumbasses. I think it could all be awesome, but I think they're dumbasses. And the much like I said about Tama Tonga, and I say, hey, you know, WWE could kind of use a win in this regard. I know that there's people on the other side of the coin that are absolutely salivating with their fingers on the clicker button to share that the GIF, the GIF, the image, the slide of Drew Galloway is all elite. And I get that. But as much as I want Tama Tonga as a win, I don't want to give you Drew McIntyre as a win because I'm selfish. How about that? I feel like WWE just this past week putting scrolling sold out on all their SmackDown images. I feel like being a little bit petty. And I don't have a problem admitting it. That's the difference between me and some of you guys on the other side of the fence. But yeah, so officially, I guess you could say he's still up in the air, but I don't think it's up in the air. Personally, that's just me. Do we get Tama Tonga? I hope so. Do we keep Drew McIntyre? I hope so. Now, TNA Wrestling has reportedly considered making changes to the weekly Impact television shows. Now, that sounds like a garbled bunch of words. I'll give you the short form. TNA is considering doing their show live, which I don't remember the last time they did their show live, and potentially moving to Full Sail. That makes me smile a lot. That makes me smile a whole lot, because you guys know, especially if you guys are paying attention to my NXT Rewind series, you guys know how connected I am to the black and gold era of NXT. And not to be a bit sentimental, not to be a bit sappy, your boy Spaz Phoenix at the end of the day is a huge softy. 90% of that took place in Full Sail. Full Sail's fucking awesome. During the Wrestling Observer Radio, this is again from Aaron Reft on NoDQ, quoting Dave Meltzer of F4W Online, discussed the potential changes to TNA Wrestling. This is a long thing for me to get through, so you're going to have to bear with me on this one. Discussed the potential changes to the TNA Wrestling brand in the weekly Impact television shows following the departure of Scott D'Amore. First and foremost, hope the roster is doing good. Hope everybody in the back is doing good. Hope Scott D'Amore is doing good. I hope things seem to be kind of quelled as far as any kind of uprising, but I still do wonder what that uprising would look like. One of the things they've looked at is, and it's not going to happen anytime soon, but they want to go live. The idea is to go live and have one location where they would go every Thursday. Full Sail University is one of the places that was talked about, and there's probably other locations as well, which would be really, really tough because Orlando already has NXT every Tuesday, but before he was ousted, Scott and Lou D'Angeli and Ed Nornholm went to Full Sail and scouted it out, and that's where they wanted to go. The one thing about Full Sail, if you remember, is it had a great look for television. It had a 300 to 400 person seating, you know, because a lot of those buildings and the buildings of the size that they're using are not really good for TV. It is kind of funny. Every now and then when you're watching TNA, I'm watching TNA now, you guys know that, I'm covering it since it went back to TNA. there is the odd time where you look up in the ceiling and you're like, yeah, it is just a gym or it is just a banquet hall, even though they managed to make it feel big. Something about being on the campus is you can get this, let the students in for free, and I thought the Full Sail in NXT was a huge success. They obviously made a move not to go to Full Sail after the pandemic for whatever reason, but I don't know. But yeah, that's what we talked about. And of course, Scott D'Amore is not there anymore, but Full Sail is still Full Sail, and it's still one of the locations that they are talking about. The idea under D'Amore might be delayed as some of the talents might not know where they will be towards the end of the year. Then mentally... the mentality was to go live in 2025. There's some alliteration for you. And of course, Scott D'Amore is not there anymore, so they had to scrap the idea. And obviously, it's more expensive to run and tape weekly there than it is in other cities where they can actually sell some tickets, although they don't sell a lot of tickets. If you're going to run every single Thursday night at Full Sail University, you're going to have to give away tickets for free because people are not going to keep buying tickets every single Thursday night. That's just not happening. So that was one of the ideas, and it's still one of the ideas being worked on. Now, there's a lot to go through there, and I'm sorry that I rambled my way through that. If they're going to go live every week, that's awesome. You kill the idea of spoilers and make the show actually must watch for those people that are interested in TNA. I don't think that people going to NXT at the Performance Center is going to affect people wanting or not wanting to go. People that want to go to a TNA show will go to a TNA show. People that don't want to go to a TNA show, it's not going to be decided by whether or not they're going to NXT or not. If it's going to be more costly and they're going to have to give away tickets, I don't really know. But, I mean, Full Sail, think about how many times they rearranged and made that place look so different from what it was. One of the things they mentioned in this report is when WWE and NXT had their deal with Full Sail, they had students and staff and television production people that were getting into those fields working on these shows as part of their classes and stuff like that. So maybe cheaper labor slash also you get to say you're contributing something to that local community as well. There's sort of a hand in hand thing that goes with that. I don't know. As far as it going live, I'd love it to be live. Spoilers kill everything. Photo spoilers kill everything. As far as it being in the same place every week, it's like the Impact Zone back in the day. And it lasted a long time in the Impact Zone. NXT lasted a long time in Full Sail. They're doing the Performance Center now. I don't think that's necessarily a thing either. It will become more like NXT, where it exists in one place, and when it branches out to do a pay-per-view, you're going to have to grab it up. Whereas, they'll just come around, like Raw or SmackDown. I'm going to be going to Money in the Bank and Heatwave when it comes to Toronto, but I won't be as starving for it because I was just at SmackDown before Edge left, and I think I was at Raw before that, and that's all in the span of about a year or so. So, I don't know. I don't know my gut says, as a Black and Gold NXT fan, if another televised wrestling company decides to use Full Sail, the nostalgia of that for me will be awesome. It going live is awesome. Like I say, spoilers kill everything. I hope one of the big things, if they choose to make a new place their home, that's a big move. If they choose to go live, that's a big move as well. I hope their next big move is finding somewhere to broadcast on my TV in Canada, because getting it through YouTube Live, which occasionally is really fucking janky, I don't know. It's a very interesting conversation. It's kind of an everything and nothing conversation. If you were never an NXT fan, this is just like, oh, they've moved to another venue. If you were an NXT fan, it's a little bit of the coming together, the syncopation of all the different bits of the wrestling world. And like I said, this is me always in the background. I'm thinking I want any excuse for TNA and WWE to work together some more. So if TNA takes over Full Sail and then they invite NXT over for a crossover show, like a homecoming or whatever the case may be, I think there's tremendous potential in that. But also, if NXT and TNA got together for a show, I would like to think it would be in a bigger venue. So maybe I'm talking out of my ass. That's all I've really got. These are the headlines that caught my eye today, so I decided to come up and talk to you guys before I watch NXT tonight. We will do a preview for Roadblock sometime towards the end of this week. I know it's not a PLE, it's just an elevated episode of NXT, but I think there's enough on there to sort of sink our teeth into conversation-wise. But I'd love to know what you guys think about what I've chatted about here. I've been rambling on for 25 minutes now, so if you're still listening, thank you very much. Tell me what you think of TNA going live, potentially being in Full Sail. Do you want Drew McIntyre to stay where he is? Do you want Tama Tonga to come home to WWE? Because I just want to tweet that because I'm an asshole. Anyways, all of it down in the box below, or find me on Twitter, like I say, at SpazPhoenix. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I will talk to you later, but right now, I am tagging out.